Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 57, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Monday, November 12th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Tell me now, baby, is it good to you? Can it do to you the things that I do? I know you cool my desire. Oh, Jack O'Brien. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, Miles, I just died in the chair tonight, digesting something I ate. I just died in this chair tonight.
Thank you to Weston B.W. Bryce, 831-864-599-999-974, whatever that Twitter handle is, so much for that one. Is that Cutting Crew?
Yeah, that verged on a Weird Al, like a food-based thing.
Yeah, you know, he had a little bit. I was going to try and improvise a little bit, but I don't have the mental elasticity at the moment.
Hey, man, just eat it. That's all I got to say. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious podcast host, improviser, comedian, movie star, Mr. Eric Lampere.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes.
Hey, thank
it's
you.
It's a pleasure
for
to
being
be back.
Here.
It's been too long.
I have to say, I'll tell you what I enjoyed about just the pre-recorded of this podcast.
What's that?
Was seeing how we ordered our coffee.
Yeah.
And by ordered, I mean make ourselves.
Yes. Don't give the people any idea.
Niles, you like cold brew?
I love a little bit of cold brew.
That was quite nice. And then I saw you, and it was like Cup of Joe.
Typical
American
old-fashioned.
Out of the kettle.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today, actually, that the reason that it's called Joe is because British soldiers in World War II, you know, American soldiers were known as Joes, and only the Americans drank coffee because it is bitter garbage water. And the British were like, we drink tea, idiots. So that's how it got the name Joe.
Boom. And little lesson for
Eric, you had a sort of, I guess it would be an espresso?
Yeah, it was an absolute.
Nesprizzi, as we call
it. I like to pretend like I'm Clooney, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
He has an ad.
That's his thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's his brand.
That's good for him. We all need a brand. And mine is just uncut, concentrated cold brew.
What do you think my brand would be? If I ever made it, like, if I ever made it big, and I say if, mm-hmm. When?
Come when? On now. Okay. Don't use that limited
let's,
thinking.
Let's ask the universe.
Clooney check yourself in the
streets. Clooney in the streets, DeVito in the sheets. Is what I'm saying.
That's not his brand, though. That's what are you saying?
Yeah, what would be like a product that I would sell?
Oh.
If you look at me and you're like, yeah, this would be perfect for Eric.
Some kind of designer sunglasses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I quite like it.
Huh. Yeah. I feel like you're some kind of lifestyle item.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Because you have like a model's build. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Long.
Oh, I do have a model's build. Yes. Yeah. Not the face, though.
Well,
not the face.
I think so. Don't. You know, that's, again, remember upstairs we were talking about beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. You
that's
know what
true.
I mean?
Well, you say that, but I, back in 2009, I did a commercial in the UK that was so annoying.
I remember.
That, that I was voted number 5 biggest cunt of 2009.
Really?
Yeah.
And ooh, then, wait,
is that those? Part of like the British elections?
It's weird how the voting
prime minister
system.
And
if you make it to number 1, you become prime minister. basically, what happened was that there were so many Facebook groups about how ugly I was that
Jesus.
If you typed in "ugly man" on Google, I was on page 2.
That's right. Oh. I know that from not just because I Googled it and I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize you from that. No, you've talked about that before on a podcast I listened to. It probably wasn't this one.
Oh, okay. I have no identity then.
No, I remember
just keep repeating
that,
the same shit.
No.
That happens on podcasts.
If I was
people
on
know
page
my life
2
story.
Of anything.
Everyone knows the date my parents split up because I say it on March 7th. Anyway, don't worry about it.
It's really raw, then. It really upset
me. Nah,
you.
It's fine. It's like 15 years old.
Nah, he's over it.
Hey, why the fuck am I on trial, man? You know what I mean? Let's move on with the fucking show. You know what I mean?
All right, Eric. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. We're going to do a quick box office review of what came out this past weekend. We're going to talk about the fact that Ice-T has never had a bagel or a cup of coffee or seen the movie E.T. We're going to talk about how the president should maybe take a cue from China and start investing in AI journalists because China...
They figured it out.
They did. Well, it's the first Uncanny Valley-less kind of AI I've ever seen. I was like, yeah, that's a person reading the news. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the president doesn't know Matt Whitaker, even though he just named him acting attorney general. We're going to talk about the amazing disappearing caravan, that entire caravan that everybody was so worried about. There was a photograph of it at the top of Drudge for a week straight, and now nobody's saying a single fucking word about it.
Well, because the midterms were a huge L.
Wait, so. What? Yeah. What happened?
Nothing.
I thought it literally disappeared. We're going to talk about how conservatives were cheering at the end of last week as climate change killed everyone in Southern California. They thought that was funny. We're going to talk about Michelle Obama and her upcoming book and War of Words with the president. We're going to talk the Ballad of Tucker Carlson, what his background is. We did a little bit of a deep dive to try and figure out what the fuck's going on with that guy. Papa John's is back in legal trouble. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to do a deep dive Bloid Watch into the sexiest men alive.
Well, it's obviously not going to be me, is it?
Aww.
Well, hold on. You might be surprised. You are not on this list.
Am I on your list?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's all that matters.
You're number one in our hearts.
Replace Idris Elba with your face, Eric. And that's My People magazine.
Spoilers.
Yep.
Come on.
And please, if you could tell your lawyers, I am not going to sign that restraining order. I won't acknowledge it.
Eric, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Hypnotherapy.
Ah.
I've just done some hypnotherapy via the internet.
Which
was quite scary at first because I was like, I don't know who to trust.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to go like the therapy. You got to drive. You got to get there and stuff like that. Now it's just all online. You can do it all online, and it's pretty good actually. It genuinely worked.
It was really hypnotized you.
Yeah.
Via like YouTube video.
Yeah. So you got to like you stick on the headphones so it's proper surround sound.
Yes.
And you get relaxed and you don't want anyone to like come into your room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it's amazing how it works.
Huh.
Yeah.
It was like over Skype or you just watched a video?
It's a video.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you're self-caring with YouTube hypnotherapy.
Yeah. I'm trying to like better myself.
Yeah,
you know?
I like that.
I think it's pretty good, but I can't be bothered to like leave the house.
Yeah.
So you just go online and
bring
trust,
the mountain to
hope
you.
That whoever's talking to me on the screen is not implanting me with like a secret mission to kill everyone.
Is it a voice? Is there someone on the screen?
There's
like
someone on the screen, but that could be doctored. You don't know if that person is real.
Yeah, could be an AI from China.
It could be an AI.
Yeah. What did they hypnotize you into doing?
Erectile dysfunction.
Hey, that's not funny. that's not fun. I have ED.
I genuinely was like, well, you know, I'm going to treat myself to a little bit more confidence.
Hey, did it work?
Yeah, there you go.
It really does.
Oh, shit.
Wow. It's amazing.
Give me the link to that video.
Yeah, I will, man, because it's like, I'm not ashamed to talk about it.
That's awesome.
And that, like,
either am I.
You know, some guys just need a little bit of help with the old penis.
You know, and that, I don't
wanna, with the old penis.
And I don't want to take a pill.
Right.
It's all in the mind, isn't it? It's all in the brain.
Is it, though? I don't know.
Well, let's just say that my penis is very thankful for the video.
Oh, well, again.
It's always hard now. I can't stop it.
I was going to say.
It's a real problem.
The blood is.
What is your other Google search? Priapism?
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated? I would say.
Erection.
No. Bloody brilliant.
Yes.
Overrated. Well, clearly the truth is now overrated.
You know, the truth is overrated.
For some people, right?
It's like, I don't know what's real and what's not anymore.
Okay.
You know? And it feels like that's overrated for most people. I don't think it is.
Have you really had your head fucked that bad that you don't know what truth is? Or you're just observing a world in which we seem like we're in a post-truth world?
Yeah, we're in a post-truth
world.
But
do you yourself do know what the truth is?
I know what the truth is.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
But does that even matter anymore?
I think it does. But I understand. Because, we're increasingly moving into like a... All you have to be is like, nah, that's not true.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Moving on. I'll try that with the police next time.
Yeah, someone was saying that we should all watch the deposition of Trump from, I forget what year it was. I think it was like 2013 or something, where he was being deposed by someone who was suing him, and the lawyers actually had all his lies like lined up. They knew what he was going to lie about, and so they would just... like get him to lie and then be like, actually, here's proof that that's a lie. And then just like you can see his brain, like how he lies, and is just like constantly, he just never stops for a moment. He'll just be like, oh, okay, and then make up another lie, like just from one to the next,
but
next.
Isn't that amazing as well? He lies so much that he's created his own reality, right?
Yeah. And it's constantly shifting, so you can't get your balance.
Right, but does he know if he's lying or not? That's what I'm...
I don't think he cares.
Right.
I think it just doesn't, like, practically, it does not matter to him. So.
That's an amazing life to live, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be able to lie your way out of literally any situation.
It's funny because I watch a lot of Kitchen Nightmares. Shout out to Gordon Ramsay. And there are a lot of, like, restaurant owners who have the same sort of mentality of, like, I'm not doing anything wrong with my restaurant. All of these customers are wrong.
Yes.
And you can see how that slowly, like, Ramsay's able to break them down because he can just be very blunt. And be like, hey, you fucking idiot, if the restaurant was that good, where are the fucking customers?
Right.
So shut the fuck up. And then eventually, like, they have a moment where they're like, you're fucking right.
You're right.
I feel like, you know, there's no one there to really brutally challenge him like that, where he's going to have to, like, I feel like everyone, when he lies, are just like, fuck it, just don't even say anything.
You should just send Gordon Ramsay to the White House then.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Jim Acosta, I think, is the closest thing, which makes him uncomfortable, and that's why he's just like, get him out of here.
Yeah, Jim Acosta is no Gordon Ramsay also.
No. I mean, he should be fucking full on just cursing at him.
Yeah.
That's what he needs. Somebody just shake the shit out of him.
But it's not going to happen.
No.
I think there's this a myth out there, to jump ahead a couple, that I've noticed, is that Trump has like an interior life, like an ordinary human being.
Right.
But he's just like a very simple, you know, machine that is just like,
he's like
lie,
an oyster.
Lie, just generating as much... you know, generating the truth that is most beneficial to him at all times.
Yeah.
So
self-preservation is the name of his game.
Yes.
Constantly.
What is something you think is underrated?
Have you guys ever seen Johnny Mnemonic?
Oh, with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. I've seen Johnny Mnemonic.
I watched it for the first time this week, and my mind is blown away by this terrible but brilliant movie.
Really?
It's so, so bad. I think it's in early 90s. And Keanu Reeves can put information in his brain. It's a little bit Matrix-y. It feels like he got the Matrix role from that
movie.
He's
a data courier.
So you can put some information in his brain, and then he travels with it. And
this was before USB jump drive.
Right. Yeah, this is before. So he's like a thumb drive?
Yeah. They load him up with a bunch of proprietary info, and they're like, okay, now go to China. Like Hong Kong. And download.
But it was some like pretty cool, like far out ideas in there. I think it was based on a book called, I think, Necromancer, is it? And there were some pretty great predictions about like where the future was like leading.
Right.
But then there was some weird, like near the end, there's a, Jesus comes and he fights you. Jesus fights Keanu. And then he has to like upload all his information in the internet dolphin. So there's a dolphin that's made of internet.
They nailed everything, it sounds like. Dude, I mean,
it's the kind of film that you watch once and you're angry that it got made and you're like, well, I want to watch it again.
Right.
Because it's the best thing that's ever happened. Yeah.
You know what's funny? That movie was set in the year 2021.
Wow.
So we got 2 years, everybody.
2 years to invent the internet dolphin, motherfuckers.
Jump drive.
Yes. All right. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I actually don't know, guys. I don't actually have one.
You don't?
I know I'm supposed to become one, but I'm like, what is a myth and what is not a myth?
How about there's a myth, I think, out there that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is no longer on, because I didn't know that the show was out and making good episodes, but you came in today and were like...
Oh, my mind was blown by the latest episode.
Always Sunny.
It was so good. The perfect mix of comedy and then, like, just out of nowhere takes you to this emotional... powerful scene, and it was cinematic. It went from comedy to like this cinematic piece, and then you see Danny DeVito, who's this incredible grotesque performer, you know. And by grotesque, I mean, you know, this sort of buffoon,
disgusting
of a performer.
Outrageously
grotesque. And then he just comes out of nowhere with this. You can see why he's a veteran,
right?
It's just blown away, and I ended up crying at just this art, this piece of art. It was a piece of art to not have a single joke for about 6 minutes in a comedy show,
right?
And to earn it, to like really like kill it with no jokes. It was was amazing.
So It's Always Sunny, still out there, still out here doing it.
You're literally rubbing your chin and like, really?
I guess
that show's still on. That's how I felt about the Nathan For You series finale or season finale, or maybe it's now the series finale. That was another moment where I was like, whoa, this comedy show just like made me feel every range of emotion.
That was
possible.
Incredible. I watched all of them like 2 months ago. I'd never heard of Nathan For You.
Oh yeah, that guy Bill from the last episode.
Yeah,
used to go to the supermarket I went to growing up.
Oh yeah. Wow!
And I recognized him. Last time I was there, I saw him and got a photo.
I even got a little teary at the end of the Adam Sandler special. So
that was a great special. 100% fresh. Special.
Yeah,
it was nice and silly, like exactly what we all bloody need right now. Just this bloody silliness.
Yeah, just get silly.
Agreed. All right, guys, let's talk about what came out last weekend. This past weekend, what the world needs now is a third Grinch movie. We haven't had enough. There was the live action one with Jim Carrey. There was the classic animated one. We need another one that is also computer animated this time, I guess. So
who's the voice?
Benedict Cumberbatch, I think.
Got it.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Wow.
He's in now. He's totally in.
Suddenly.
I do have to say, I quite like the sort of commercials and the billboards I see around Los Angeles. They're a bit cheeky. Like, there's one that's like, oh, you're moving to Los Angeles, are you? Good luck with your dream. And I'm like, fuck you, Grinch. God damn.
Wow.
It really, like, gets to your core.
Right.
And depending on where you are in Los Angeles, he'll reference, like, sort of the local area, it feels like.
Oh, where are the other ones? Like, is there one in Silver Lake, probably?
There's a few around, but it's like, yeah, it'll say something to the reader, right? Like, hey, welcome to Los Angeles.
It's like, oh, North Hollywood, you just moved here. Huh.
Yeah, the marketing was interesting and cheeky, as you say. But I made that sound natural, right?
Welcome to America Meets England.
Yeah.
Cheeky, as you said. Was there butt in it?
But it seems early for a Christmas movie. And also, I just don't need another Grinch movie. But does it feel early to you guys for a Christmas movie?
I don't know. Didn't the radio change the Christmas music on November 1st almost?
Yeah, basically.
So
yeah, the decorations are in already. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's
who
just...
Who cares? I'm just sick of time. It's just a bloody loop every year. Oh, it's Christmas again, is it?
Yeah.
Can't we just invent a new holiday every year?
Super producer Nick Stumpf came in with the Mariah Carey Christmas song stuck in his head. That means it's Christmas. That's like the hedgehog or the groundhog of the Zeitgeist
studios. When it creeps up?
Yeah. When Nick comes in with the Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas song.
I mean, he does hit those high notes pretty well.
And it is a great song.
It is a great song. That's what I said.
And then we started going around. And this is how fucking early we are. I'm like, what's your favorite Christmas song?
I know.
It's fucking early November still, mid-November.
In the UK, Rage Against the Machine is actually a Christmas song. because
which one?
Killing in the Name Of, right?
Huh.
What?
Because it was a few years ago, like one of the winners of X Factor or something was going to be like the number one. You know, every time like the winner comes around Christmas and his single always becomes, his or her single always becomes number one.
Right.
And the UK just had enough of it. They were like, right, this, we're fucking annoyed with X Factor. And so there was a campaign to get Killing in the Name Of
number one,
and we got it to that.
That's
and so
amazing.
Like it was really funny on radio. They were like, and now Christmas number one, the Name Of.
That's a big cultural thing in the UK, right? The what the number one song on Christmas is, for some reason, that's like a big deal.
I mean, I didn't know it was a big deal until they made it a big deal.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm like, yes, I'm so glad that someone was like, I'm sick of this.
Right.
I mean, I just assumed it was a big deal because of the documentary Love Actually, I believe they referenced that, that being a big deal, like having the Christmas number one.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when I hear words like, you know, you justify those that died by wearing the badge, they're the chosen whites. Feels like a Christmas lyric to me, you know, and some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense. I see Jesus in the manger and all that.
Miles, wait, what's your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite, okay, I was talking about this. The Andy Williams, Happy Holiday, I like that one. It's so fucking corny.
Happy Holiday.
And that one. And Yep. Mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm,
I know
mm-hmm.
all the words.
That one. And also, I like the Paul McCartney one for whatever reason. I know that people don't like that song.
Which the widely agreed upon worst Christmas
have
song.
Have yourself a wonderful
Simply
Christmas. Or whatever. That one.
Wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, I kind of like that one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind it. Why do people think because it's so not Christmassy?
Wonderful Christmas time. I don't know. It just seems like it's like five notes over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so is Feliz Navidad, and that's one of my other favorite ones. If Feliz Navidad comes on, I could probably, like, in one gulp, drink a fifth of tequila. So fucking
it is a great
pumped
song.
Up.
I only heard it for the first time last year.
It just gets your
Feliz
fucking...
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, see?
Feliz
Everybody's
Navidad.
Shoulders are popping now.
Oh.
See? It does something.
It's great.
And it's still November, guys. Look what the fuck they did to us. We don't know what time of year it is anymore.
I like the Ronettes Christmas song. I like the SNL Christmas song, Horatio Sanz Christmas.
I feel like every month should have a song, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, December's got Christmas.
Yeah.
January should be like, hey, okay, new vibes, new years.
Yeah.
February's obviously romantic, love.
Yeah.
March, political.
Yeah.
There you go.
March. Okay.
March, mm-hmm. Right. April, Easter.
There you go.
Watch out, that rabbit's coming along. He's going to steal your eggs.
What's that one?
I don't know, Easter.
He just made
it. Oh, you just made that up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's
watch out that Christmas.
I like that.
We got a hit, baby.
We got a hit, baby. Hello, Hollywood.
Shit, what is the Christmas Ronettes song called? Nick, you know this. Oh, I guess it's not the Ronettes. It's Darlene Love. It's mm-hmm. called, the song is called Christmas, parentheses, Baby, Please Come Home. Oy. And there's also that George Michael song. Last Christmas. That mm-hmm. is good. What else is coming out this weekend, guys? Outlaw King hits Netflix.
Yeah.
Hits home theaters.
That's the one with Chris Pine's penis?
Yeah, apparently it is.
Why specifically his penis?
Well, I remember, like,
it's shown
think,
in this.
Yeah.
Oh,
when I
it
think...
is the Outlaw King.
No, when it was, like, I think at the Toronto Film Festival, that's everyone was talking about. They're like, and then there's a movie with Chris Pine's dick you can see.
And apparently it is...
Does it add value to the story?
It is in the genre of Shame, the Michael Fassbender film, because it is an impressive penis.
Well, they say, but now the version now, it's blurry now. So you don't get the full-on cocky.
You don't get the full dick?
No.
Also, you know, it might just be a little bit of a trick because I've had to get naked on stage and stuff before. And obviously before you go on... You
right.
know, you just, like, you move it about a bit. Just
yeah.
to let the blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
Just
of
to give yourself a little bit more of a size before you...
Bit of a wank.
Just,
yeah.
Well, not wank. You don't wank before you go on set, but, like, just a little fiddle.
Yeah,
I do that
yeah,
before
yeah.
I even look in the mirror, just so
yeah.
I feel good about myself, you know?
Just have some hypnotherapy. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Such confidence. I can do it to you now. You're feeling heavy, sleepy.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not very
My
good
My dick
at it.
In particular?
Whatever it is, yeah.
So this is, I assumed this was one of the seven Robin Hood movies that are in development currently in Hollywood, and it's not.
Who's it about even? I literally only know it's a Chris Pine's dick movie.
So Robert the Bruce character from Braveheart, who like stabs Braveheart in the back, and then
all historically inaccurate, by the way. Braveheart.
Yeah, totally. Completely inaccurate, but
because Scotland doesn't exist, right?
It's not real.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, that's a fictional made-up island.
Right. fictional made-up island of Scotland. I'm sorry.
But it's basically the story of Robert the Bruce leading Scotland's revolt against Longshanks.
Does Chris have a British accent in it? I don't know.
Scottish.
Or is it all American? It's like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with like Kevin Costner. It's a great film.
We nailed it on that one. Am I right, Eric? with the accent?
Did he even do an accent?
He did for like the first couple shots.
Right.
And then it was just like,
don't worry about it. Yeah.
Hey, don't worry. You're Kevin Costner, man.
Hey, what do you want from me, huh? And then finally, Twitter at the end of last week was going nuts about iced tea.
Yeah.
Not the beverage, the man.
The rapper.
Because for someone named after a caffeinated beverage, he has never had a cup of coffee.
Mm.
He has never had a bagel.
Mm.
And he's never seen E.T.
Yeah. I think most people are surprised because most people have had bagels. But iced tea strikes me as somebody who would be like, I ain't eating that shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not fucking with a bagel. He likes jelly donuts. He was clapping back on a bunch of people on Twitter who were like, oh, you're actually eating a cinnamon raisin bagel? He's like, TV is make-believe. And you're like, okay, goddamn.
My That's character was eating that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was just trying to embody Mr. T, or Ice T.
He's in Johnny Mnemonic.
That's right.
He plays a pretty wild character. He's like, I live up there in heaven. And he's like, he's weird. It's great.
His name is J-Bone in Johnny Mnemonic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was interesting at the beginning of Ice-T's acting career when people didn't necessarily know what to do with Ice-T in a movie. Because he started out as an action hero. There was that, it was like Hard Target, but starring Ice-T.
Yes, what was it? Oh man, there's so many. Surviving the Game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, Ice-T, never had a bagel, despite spending a lot of time in New York, from what I understand.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where he doesn't want to do it now at this point. Like, he's gone too long without having one, that he doesn't want to give anyone the satisfaction of giving him his first bagel.
Eric, we've talked about this before on the show, but is there anything very, you know, common that everybody has done that you have not done?
I don't think there's anything that I haven't done, because I'm pretty much a bit of a yes man. I get peer pressured and bullied very easily into submission.
Have you seen the Jim Carrey movie Yes Man?
Yes.
Oh,
man.
And I also read it by Danny Wallace.
Oh, very different.
But I'll pretty much do anything just to try it out, which I think is quite important.
Yeah.
You got to try things out.
Yeah.
See if it's your vibe. See if it's your flavor.
You can't corner Eric, man. He's done it all. He's seen it all.
Uh-huh.
Any food you've never tried? Is there food you've always wanted to try that you've never tried?
Oh, no. I'll put everything
anything.
In my mouth.
See?
Yeah. I'm French, but we eat everything.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zyte Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and so we all felt the chill realizing that we are soon going to be replaced by AI, because late last week, China released a video of an AI-generated news anchor who is basically indistinguishable from an actual speaking human being.
Yeah. I mean, they basically took existing footage of an anchor and then used that to make him a puppet, essentially.
Yes.
Like, with facial expressions and everything, using machine learning. The voice you can tell because it's so synthesized. You thought it was a...
Is the body like a real robot android, or is it a...
No, it's like a deep fake, like where it's animated video. Like, I'll just... You can see that's sort of what it looks like.
Oh, that looks amazing.
So
yeah.
It's basically
it
just...
It looks exactly like real life.
It looks like a person. If you look at the mouth, you can kind of see little sort of things here and there. But, you know, it's still learning, and this is a technology I guess they're developing.
But also, is it an AI that's only designed for journalism?
I think this is more just to the AI is more around presenting a human looking thing that they, you can then just make parrot whatever quote unquote news you needed to.
Because I did when I was in the UK, I did a show called How to Survive a Disaster Movie, and I had to go on a date, and I was presented as the AI. So I went on a blind date with 3 people,
mm-hmm.
and they were told you can keep asking him questions. He'll take a while to answer. And then he'll answer, right? And that's because I had a little earpiece, and whenever they asked me a question, the producer would put that question in this AI and then feed me the answer that I... And it was always very weird answers because the AI wasn't human.
Right.
And I respond quite weirdly, and anything to do with emotions or whatever, the AI was really struggling.
Right.
And that's the Alan Turing test to see, you know, whether, you know...
Can it successfully mimic us? But yeah,
it's going to get there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's close.
It's very exciting. There's a book called Life 3.0 by Max Tegmark, who talks about...
Who is a robot himself.
He could
Max
be.
Max Tegmark.
You never
yes. Max
but,
Headroom's
He talks
Max
about
Voltage.
How like AI is going to, you know, it could go in so many different paths right now. And we're still sort of in control of the path that it could take.
Right.
But it could go very much like we're in control of it. And if we're in control of it, is it conscious? Because if it's conscious and we're trapping it, then is that torture? Like, we'd be trapping this conscious thing. If it's not conscious, if it's just a zombie system that's AI, then that's fine. We can use it. Like Siri's not conscious, or is she?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like weird because we don't even know what consciousness is.
Yeah.
So what can we do with AI at some point? What is it going to be? Like, is it going to be alive? And if it is, what can we do?
Siri, are you conscious?
Well, I do journal every day.
Okay, fuck off.
All right. Fuck off with your cute little line, so, Siri.
She's fine.
You
get
asshole.
Back in your box.
We've successfully mimicked an asshole,
right.
Siri. On the other hand, we do have the functional equivalent of this with Wolf Blitzer in America because he's a dumb person who will say anything you put into his
I mean, I think this whole thing is kind of freaky, though, because when you think of like China, just sort of a country that loves censorship and loves like obscuring actual news, like whether it's, you know, people who are, you know, dissident voices or just trying to, you know, obscure like the oppression of the like Muslim Uyghur community there. You know, that I can see how now they're like, okay, let's just fucking completely remove this from human beings and we can just, you know, make it a human Twitter account. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's quite scary because it depends how it's programmed, right? Because if it's still under control of the humans, then essentially it's not AI.
Well, yeah. So. Well, I think the AI, I think they're just using the machine learning to mimic human facial expressions in a video sense. They're still feeding it the words that it has to perform. So in that way, it's not creating the news, but just more like, hey, we don't even need humans anymore to be journalists.
Pretty much every single job is going to go to AI at some point, which is pretty exciting because if the governments get it right and give us the free time, like if there's a basic universal income, which I think America will be last to do.
Of course.
It always feels like that. Like the basic universal income is already coming into like some European countries.
Yeah.
I think Netherlands is doing it or Denmark, something like that.
Like a pilot program or just...
Yeah, try it in just in a very located...
Well, they've done
area.
It in California. They were doing it in one town in California, and I know in Canada they were doing it as well. I mean, there are places trying it, but I know what you mean.
Real?
Like, yeah, like in terms of actual, like at the federal level, they're going to be like, you get back to work, slaves. And I mean that in the capitalistic sense, not you know, antebellum South sense.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Matt Whitaker. He is currently the acting attorney general of these United States.
Who said that?
And the president. The president announced that
he knows
he
him?
Is. Yeah. Actually, wait, sorry. Now, don't quote me on that. So the president says of his appointee, I don't know Matt Whitaker. Who's Matt Whitaker? I don't know who he is. So, yeah, even though he's been to the White House many times, he's a person who the president has said he enjoys a rapport with or who people have said he enjoys a rapport with. And the president just appointed him again to lead the U.S. Department of Justice. But when people were like, yeah, but there's some reasons to be skeptical of this, he's like, I don't know the guy.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Which is so funny.
Is this the guy that's taken over from Sessions?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
He's a man taken over and has a really hilarious background. Like, he was caught up in some scheme for some company that was doing like patent law or whatever, like where if you had an idea for an invention, like this company would help you like patent it and take it to market and everything. And like, I think they had to settle some $25 million claim or something against the company. This guy is just kind of an all around like weirdo moron kind of guy.
Seems to suit this administration, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he has some hot takes on the Constitution, too. So, I mean, yeah, I think all of these things have come out, and a lot of people are pointing to the fact that, like, this person seems wholly unqualified, not to mention you completely skipped the line of succession at DOJ to, you know, replace Jeff Sessions. And it's caused, like, rumblings, I think, in the White House. Politico, I think, was reporting how, like, the White House was just so surprised that people were, like, paying attention to how little experience he had or that he might be a bad fit or that this may be an illegal appointment. But, you know, such is to be expected, I think, from the White House.
Yeah, when is this going to stop, by the way? When's Trump going to just get stopped? Because I'm getting bored of this now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
A bit much.
2020.
That's part of the danger is that we all get bored with it and we're just like, we'll deal with it later. This is exhausting. And then nobody reads about it anymore and he just rides roughshod over.
Well, yeah. I mean, luckily, you know, I think enough people have enough at stake with this president that everyone is being very vigilant, or at least on the activist level. So, you know, I think the answer is not a simple one, but I think we'll see, you know, depending on what Robert Mueller cooks up.
I made it very simple. Come on, when are we going
to
stop?
When's this going to stop now? I'm tired of it. Take me off this ride.
Now, whenever I try and bring Matt Whitaker to my mind's eye, that character is played by Michael Chiklis. They look very similar to one another.
Yeah.
In that sense, I don't know who Matt Whitaker is either.
No, no. Does any? I don't even think he knows.
Yeah. So there is some hope. Architects of the strategy used in the Nixon impeachment have pointed out that the grand jury has the ability to circumvent the acting attorney general because they're basically part of the judicial branch, and therefore, you know, the executive doesn't get to tell them whatever their agenda is.
Right. So you're saying, like, yeah, if he totally tries to kneecap the Mueller thing, the grand jury can still put a report together of what they saw, what was presented to them, and show that to Congress, and Matt Whitaker can't do a damn thing about it.
That's right.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I mean, you know, the other funny thing about this whole thing, too, was among all of his background and real lack of experience was the fact that he has so many connections to the Mueller investigation, whether it's through Sam Clovis or other things, that, like, everyone's like, hey, recuse yourself, you know? President Trump, when they asked him about it, he gave, like, the fucking dumbest response, where they're like, this guy is working with somebody who's a witness. He was like, he's palling around with Sam Clovis, who's a witness in this. Isn't that a conflict of interest? And when asked about him being recused, he couldn't really give a good answer. And then other people were like, yo, this guy's on TV on top of everything, out loud, you know, vocalizing that he thinks the Mueller investigation is a complete sham or whatever. Like, this clearly seems like a bad choice. And this was his defense of Matt Whitaker.
First of all, when you make comments, I see everybody on television, all these lawyers, all these law enforcement people making comment after comment. They never ask to get recused. They make comment.
What? What does that even mean?
They make comment is how he ended that statement.
He sounds like a beat poet.
Yeah.
But he was saying people criticize me on TV and they don't have to recuse themselves. So he doesn't understand that he didn't just appoint everybody on TV as the acting attorney general. Is that...
I mean, to recuse means to remove someone from a position of judicial authority.
Right.
So being a guy on TV making a I don't know. I guess the point he's making is, okay, so he said something on TV, therefore I can't use anybody who said any kind of thing on TV, which is like, well, that's not true. It's just someone who is going to oversee an investigation that needs to be seen as an objective sort of nonpartisan thing. You can't have that person being like, oh, this is fucking bullshit. Wait till, you know, this thing needs to end. Like,
right.
That could be the problem. And on top of that, people who have appeared on TV are, what, a half a percentage of the, or, you know, numerous people that could be involved in any of these things? Or how about this? You know, you just follow the line of succession and you have Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
But whatever. You know, it's because it's so clear what he's trying to do that I guess he has to rely on these, like, really lame arguments. You know,
I've never commented on TV about the investigation, Miles.
Oh,
you've
shit.
Never commented on TV.
Well, we have commented on podcast.
Yeah, it was different.
He doesn't know about this.
I was going to say, you know, you were asking me about myth earlier on,
yes.
Right? Like, people believe that 9/11, you know, was an inside job and stuff. And obviously, you know, I guess you'll never know. But if the government can do 9/11 but still can't take Trump out,
right.
I feel like they didn't do 9/11.
Yeah.
You
know, it feels like it'd be easy to take out Trump somehow.
This has rendered most conspiracy theories about the U.S. government moot,
right?
I think.
Well, I guess then you say, but where's the profit motivation?
Of,
you know, 9/11, you get pretext for war.
Right.
And that fires up the war machine, the military-industrial complex.
Right.
If Trump isn't president, where, who makes the money then?
Miles is doing a voice.
Answer
but
me that. I don't know, man.
Stuff.
Have you seen Loose Change, bro? You seen Loose Change?
Yeah. Check out Loose Change. Listen to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Check out Loose Change and go back to freshman year of college.
So we want to talk about Tucker Carlson. He's in the news because Antifa activists just staged a protest outside his family home, which is totally fine. However, they did, like, try and knock down his door and cracked the door, according to statements. According to him.
But there are a lot of people who were there who took photos are like, there's no damage to the door.
Okay. So
that
Tucker
was
Carlson's
like a thing that he put out there as if it was, you know, that was going on.
It's like Acosta, like, you know, accosting that woman with his karate chop arm.
That nearly blew her arm off.
And
you can
we've talked on the show before. I think we've even had quotes where he's talking about how, you know, conservatives are being assaulted.
Oh,
and
yeah.
his version of being assaulted is being yelled at while they're out to eat. But anyways, we have long been fans of Tucker Carlson here on the Daily Zeitgeist. And something that we came across earlier this week that we had to ask our writer, J.M. McNabb, to dig into is, where do we find this out? The Tucker Carlson?
Fucking Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Great research by the folks at Wikipedia. Well done. Let us know that Tucker Carlson's mom left the family when he was 6 years old to go be like a hippie in Europe.
Yeah,
essentially
in France.
To go live the bohemian lifestyle in France. So
good for her.
He is a comic book villain with like a villain origin story where he was wronged by hippies. Like his hippiedom.
They stole his mother. Yeah.
The call of liberalism, like just the smell of a pie in a cartoon, like came all the way over to San Francisco and like pulled his mom over to France by her nose.
Petit Tucker Carlson, yes. Je te dis au revoir.
All
Bisous.
Those words.
What was he saying? I'm sorry, little boy, I'm leaving you. Kisses.
Yeah.
I see. I get
down. Very good, mate.
Francophone. You know what I mean?
Francophone.
Yeah. Wesh, moi.
But his dad was also originally a Democrat and then met Reagan and was like, ooh, this seems like it would be more beneficial for me to be a Republican. And so, you know, transferred parties. But his dad also married a heir to the Swanson throne.
Yeah, the frozen dinner people.
Big frozen dinner.
And they're big liberals, too.
They're big liberals. So it's basically all him just being like, screw you, mom.
My mom left to be a French fucking hippie liberal. My stepmom's a fucking liberal rich fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wear bow ties.
So, exactly.
And be so angry at them.
And he has been asked about this in interviews before. They've been like, so,
right.
I mean, this happened in your past. Like, do you think this had anything to do with the fact that you are, you know, a monstrous
white supremacist.
And he said, it's a totally bizarre situation, which I never talk about because it was actually not really part of my life at all. His mom
That's
leaving
a direct
the
quote,
family.
By that the way. That wasn't you.
That was me not going off prompter, but reading a direct quote from Tucker Carlson talking about his mom leaving the family, not being a
just
part of his life.
Creating himself a different reality.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, this is amazing. This is why, in a way, I want to join the Republicans.
Right.
Because anytime there's a problem, they'll just say, I know you are, but what am I?
Ignore.
And just move on. And it's like, that's not how we deal with situations. I know you are, but what am I? But what about, no, I know you are.
I know you are, but what am I? No, you're an emotionally scarred human being. I know you are, but what am I? okay, never mind, Tucker. But yeah, when you break it down, the quote, the answer was a totally bizarre situation.
Yes.
I'm sorry. How is you describing your mother abandoning you as a totally bizarre situation? Like, where you're like, oh yeah, so weird, huh?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. Like, that will contribute to some deep.
Yeah, but also, but here's the fence, right? So my mom abandoned me when I was 15.
Okay.
Right. And so when that happens, you don't really think about it. You just get on with it.
Sure.
That's fucking weird. And you just get on with it. And that's why I'm doing therapy now. Like, loads of little things about me dealing with my issues in the past.
Right.
But for a good 10, 15 years, when people were saying, Eric, you probably need some therapy, I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Because
Never happened. For me,
it's normal that she had left. I was like, well, that's just my reality. Like, what? Your mom didn't leave you?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
so, like, in a way, it's like, it's not even. So when he says, like, it's a bizarre situation, it's like, yeah, it's quite weird. Like, you know, like when she left, my dad left also.
Right.
I was homeless for 4 years. And people go, oh, that's weird. And I go, well, that's just normal, isn't it?
Yeah, this makes me a bit weird. This makes me have empathy for him, which is something he's incapable of having
for anyone else.
Just picturing any six-year-old. And this kind of goes back to our original point that we were making about, like, you can kick Tucker Carlson's door down if it's just his apartment, but you got to feel bad for, he has four kids. They're probably terrified.
But the other side of that too is, right? He is engaging in very fucking dangerous rhetoric that is making people's lives miserable, in some instances costing them their lives. If you're a motherfucking drug dealer and you got your kids at your house, that's on you because you know what the fuck you're doing and the danger that you put your family in doing that. Not to say that it's justified, but he has to know you're not impervious to people being fucking upset with you because you have four kids or whatever. Now, I'm not saying the kids are, you know, complicit in any of this. But like at the same time, he needs to also be aware that his actions could potentially put his family in danger from just like any other person who, whether it's a journalist on the left who has hot takes on Trump and gets sent a mail bomb, you don't know how people are going to respond to you.
Right. But that is a thing that we should not be in support of, the journalist getting sent a mail bomb.
No, I'm not supporting that at all. And I'm not saying that, but I'm saying on some level, he has to understand, like, these people,
But he doesn't know any different. So, like, if, let's say, you're not shown love as a kid, that's why I love looking at leaders that are currently in charge, not just American ones, but British ones all over the world, the ones that are angry, the ones that, like, want to fuck other people's life up. And I always look at them and I go, why are you so angry? And then I'm like, let's have a look at your parents. And their parents seem like a bunch of assholes as well.
Right.
And then it's like, that's all they know.
Right.
You know? So then, like, that's why I always find it amazing. Like, you look at Trump and I'm like, oh, how much love did you get from your parents? Probably not that much.
Right. But I can't. But what do you do when I can't just look at him and go, oh, well, you didn't get love. And then you keep on with your hate speech and keep talking all this stuff.
It's definitely not okay.
But right, like, but I'm saying then, how can you be empathetic, right? Understand that he may be damaged and that's why that's happening, while still making it very clear that what he's saying is unacceptable, is just a complete, it goes against what the foundations of the supposed like American values are. You know, like, where? How do you split that difference? Because it can't just be, well, leave him alone while he does and broadcasts all this shit. Because direct action, I feel, is very important.
I definitely don't think we should leave Tucker Carlson alone. If anything, I think we should let him know that we know this is all about his mom and that he just needs a hug. But when it comes to his kids, I'm just saying, look what happened when we got one child who was, you know, wronged by liberals. They grew up to be fucking Tucker Carlson. Think about the future generations.
Well, what happens to you know, kids who are coming up here from El Salvador, Guatemala, who get split from their parents or in a fucking cage?
It's fucking terrible.
So what, you know what I mean? But that's why I'm saying, where does the empathy go?
Yeah. No,
in that sense,
goes
because
to those
he
kids
clearly
more than...
has no fucking empathy.
They don't have it.
And that's where I get like really upset by the whole thing, is because on one hand, I understand as a human, like nonviolence, I 100% believe in these kinds of situations, but I also believe in direct action, and I believe in letting people know when they've crossed the line.
Right.
And now we're trying to figure out, like, how do we let this person know the shit he's saying is dangerous and fucked up, but also, obviously, you're not trying to, you know, scar his children.
But the president's getting away with it. So, in a way, it's like, why should we teach these people a lesson when the president's not even doing it? Like, genuinely, for example, I still haven't paid my tax this year. Right, and there is an element of me that's like, well, if your president's not going to pay it,
right,
I'm hardly legal in this country. Right. Why would I pay tax if apparently your president's not doing it?
Sure,
right. Especially when the money might be going to locking up kids in cages. I'm
right.
good. Oh,
might, yeah, it is. Right. Right.
I mean, I just hope my money's not going to that. But like, in a way, I see it as going.
Sure,
to that.
Sure, sure.
So it's annoying when your president's doing shit. Then I don't give a shit about Tucker Carlson because you're literally your leader's doing it.
Well, I think, but they're also, we have a government that has too many, it's so stacked in the Republican side that there's no mechanism to check him.
Yeah.
So that's the problem there. If we had, if there are more Democrats in seats of power, like in terms of Congress and things like that, we'll see what they do with the House. But when you have no one to check him and you only have enablers in his party, then we get this thing.
But also fear is so much easier to use than fucking love. No one wants to choose love. Oh, can I be loved? Am I lovable? Most people look at the shit things about them, right? And so Republicans are actually pretty fucking smart. They make everyone stupid and scared, and then they go, we can control you. We are the puppets. Like, oh, mate, I'm just full of anger.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do like a proper political podcast without just going, this is fucked up.
Well, yeah, because I think everyone has their own ideologies, and right now we're in a position as people who are progressives to look at what's going on and go, this goes against every single thing that I believe in.
Right.
Yeah. And there's no way to be calm about that. You're like,
And I don't know. I also like, and this is like selfish and not the most important thing, but I like being on the side that isn't doing shitty things to people. Whereas, I like being on the side that's not mail bombing people and then not fucking going into churches and shooting them up.
But at what point do we just go, oh, well, I really like being on that side? Like, I agree, I'm on that side. But at some point, I'm like, you'd see the other side just slowly gaining ground because they're being assholes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At what point do we just take arms and go, you know what? We used to fucking kill Nazis.
Right.
Like, genuinely.
Right.
Yeah. We used to literally kill Nazis.
Yeah.
It feels like now the World War II is actually not finished. I thought it was finished in 1945. But no, what it was is just moved to your fucking territory.
Right.
Right.
It's insane. Do you know that in Germany, they can't use a swastika anymore. So they're using the Confederate flag as their symbol.
Mm. Like that's who, Nazis?
Nazis. Nazis in Germany are now using the Confederate flag as a symbol to like, hey, just so you know, we really fucking hate Jews here. Like that right. is...
But we also respect rules, so we won't use a swastika. That seems a little odd. If you're a Nazi, right. like, you're like, hey, man, don't use a swastika. Right. We use the Confederate flag. Right. But yeah, I know
but like,
you, yeah.
At what point, that's why like Antifa, like I don't, they should not use violence. You should never use violence. You really should not use violence. But at some point, if a Nazi is being an asshole, punch him right in the dick.
Yeah. No, I've...
Yeah.
I think it's basically academic at this point because I think we all agree.
But like, at what point, genuinely, at what point will you raise arms? At what point will you just go, you know what, this is enough? Like, I'm breaking to that point where, like, the kids in cages got me going, I don't even want to live in this country anymore. Like, it's pretty fucking wild.
Yeah.
Not that Brexit's any fucking better, but, like, we're not locking cages up.
Yeah. Kids yeah, up. No, it is better because you're not locking kids up.
So at what point? What's gonna trigger you?
I've thought that there's been justified uses of violence up to this point. I just don't think going to somebody's home when their kids might be there is...
I think we can still have a path where you can still find these people in space, in public space, and let them know constantly how fucking wrong they are. And they will, you know, I think that's one version of this because you're seeing the reaction of them.
But doesn't psychologically, you telling someone that they're wrong, doesn't that push them even further back? I read some article about how telling someone they're
makes
wrong
makes more entrenched in their beliefs.
Yeah, it doesn't make them go, oh, okay, let me hear your thoughts out. They are so annoyed that you're telling them that they're wrong that they'll go, well, fuck you then. Right. And then they create this sort of reality barrier where then they're so right that you're wrong.
Right, and so your mere presence reinforces them being right because they're like, ah, and there's that person that confirms how right I am.
But I don't think anyone thinks that Tucker Carlson is going to come around at this point. I think, you know, something we were talking about earlier when we were talking about his career, because he started as sort of a centrist journalist who his former editors like speak wistfully about what a great writer he was, but he and basically everybody on the right has had the unfortunate experience of every time they become a shittier person with less empathy, their career gets better. So they've just been like Pavlov dogs trained to be shitty people. And so they're not coming back from that. But it is, I think it's perfectly fine and probably commendable to make their lives as shitty as possible.
I think it signals to other people who might even be tempted by that to go, ooh, I don't know if I want all that smoke.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's where the guardrails are. It's like, well, if you talk like this, chances are you might lose your job. If you're a racist and you get put on blast on Twitter or whatever, we've seen that time and again. And I think that's, people have to realize that there are boundaries that we're trying to create. I don't know if I think, what might happen is there will be some kind of weird kind of violent clash between the left and the right that really will, people are going to be like, oh shit. Like, maybe we're going to have to rethink what the dialogue is here.
Right.
But I don't know if that'll happen with this president because at every instance he has to try and unify the country or heal it. He just wants to fucking throw the fork in the road even harder and divide it.
You know one thing that's amazing? Like, we still talk about Genghis Khan thousands of years later because of how much of a prick he was.
Right. Right.
We still talk about Hitler. It was not that long ago, right? It was, what, 80 years ago? But we still talk about him because of how much of a prick he is, right? Historically, it's a lot easier to keep your name alive, right, by being a fucking asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
And Trump loves his name. He loves it.
Right.
Right? Being a genuinely good guy kind of gets you nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's really nice. People remember you. Your funeral will be a lot more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, because people will come because they want to rather than being forced to by the paramilitaries and stuff. But like, it feels like now he's like, look, I'm going to die very soon. And let's just fucking go out with a bang. Right?
There is no way he believes he's ever gonna die. But
that'd be so. The doctor comes in, they go, "Oh, the diagnosis is really bleak, Mr. President. I'm not gonna die.
I think historically that has something to do with just our fascination with villains. But I think when it comes to people like Tucker Carlson and whatever the fuck, Sean Hannity, it's more that it's so much easier to make it on the right because there's just not much talent over there. So there's no competition.
It's reality TV, baby.
It's
and once you go to that side, you can't come back.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. One thing, though, what we did find, like that JM found in the course of this was talking about how Tucker Carlson really fancies himself a ladies' man.
Yeah.
There's a moment he was being interviewed by Gavin McInnes, but there's this thing where they talk about how conservatives, you know, people think conservatives just like don't fuck and they just marry their high school sweetheart. And listen to this fucking baller response fucker Carlson gives.
How many women have you had sex with in your life?
A lot. 100.
Because you went, what?
It was a short window, but I packed it full.
You carpet bombed.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Was it DC?
It was more like a, yeah, it really was. It was like a neutron bomb.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a guy who's...
As soon as I hear that, I see that scene in American Pie, you know, where they're like, oh, when a guy gives you a number, just divide it by three.
Right.
That feels like that, but with him, maybe just divide it a few more times.
Divide it by the number he says to get one.
Right.
Hundreds, divide that by hundreds.
More like a neutron bomb. You know, the metaphor that everybody uses with regards to sex. A neutron bomb. Wow. There's a guy who's at peace with reality.
Yeah. Again, he's a very complex person.
Yes.
Not complex. I mean, he seems like to have some damage in his life. But again, his fucking rhetoric has just gotten worse and worse and more grotesque and violent over the years.
Because also, the longer you keep up this weird ruse and this weird lie that you've created for yourself, the more you're it feels like people are bad at poker. You know, they'd rather go all in than go, look, I've just lost this round. I can make a new game of poker here.
Right.
I can get a new set of cards and let's do it. But most people are like, no, I'm all in.
Right.
I've made a mistake and I know that I'm about to lose, but I'm going to bluff my way out.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like people are doing.
All right.
Not a good game to play.
Well, we're going to keep talking about Tucker Carlson because after the break, we're going to talk about people's sexiest men. So we'll more Tucker Carlson right when we get back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and people have released their Sexiest Man Alive issue. It is Idris Elba, which everybody knew that already. Yeah, everybody was well aware.
I was a little disappointed by his tattoos.
What are his tattoos?
They're like nonsense. I don't know. I couldn't really understand what they were. It was like a lot of scribble.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, if you had to choose, you know, a man to have full coitus with, who would it be?
Probably Idris Elba, right?
Oh, for real? You're just
Guy
like...
Fieri.
Guy Fieri, yeah.
Because he would nice hook breakfast? It up with food after.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I like to eat after I fuck.
Uh-huh.
So, and I know he is going to put so much garlic and butter and whatever it is. It could be part of the lovemaking. I don't care. But yeah, this in this magazine, it would be... So, Guy Fieri for me. What about you, Eric?
Oh, well, as soon as you mentioned the food thing, I was like, man, that's throwing a bloody wrench in my pipe.
Yeah.
Because that is a great point.
Yeah.
To get a little bit of a breakfast off it. Maybe Gordon Ramsay. Oh, the sex, the talk, the dirty talk.
Gordon Ramsay, he has too many forehead wrinkles for me. Mm. You know what I mean?
Guy Fieri looks... You can use them, though. You can use them as flaps.
Yeah, something.
Guy Fieri looks smooth.
Guy Fieri looks smooth. All over. Honestly, for some reason, I don't think he smells. I think he smells good, like a ton of Axe body spray.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be a stinky, gross dude.
Good, you know, like a ton of Axe body spray.
Yeah, you don't
the best smell in the world.
Anyway, so the list is pretty interesting. I know it had some people divided in this office.
Yeah, so namely, producer Sophie Lichterman
was wildly
not
upset.
Feeling it.
You know, she put some big X's over faces, but I was. These are some good looking dudes. We have
and cut the eyes out of their faces.
Yeah,
weird,
it looks
Sophie.
Like a weird.
That's too much
yearbook move. But okay, so let's go from the oldest. So from the oldest. Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, okay.
Who else? Forrest Whitaker's up there. She said that was a dud. I'm like, yo, let Forrest rock. He's doing okay.
Yeah, but also, so clearly, these choices are not just based on, how hot they are.
No,
but it's like
publicists.
Like, obviously,
and
the
what
PR.
And what they're doing this year, yeah.
But, what they're up to and,
You
know.
And also, it's just an overall, vibe thing, right?
It's all vibes, you know. Jeffrey Wright. Oh, okay. I like Jeffrey Wright in there.
Jeffrey Wright, really?
You don't think Jeffrey Wright?
He just seems, tightly wound.
He's deep, you know. He's such a good character actor.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Then there's Anderson Cooper, Will Smith, Matt McConaughey, Matt Damon,
John Malkovich,
Boris Kojo. I don't know what the fuck he did. He's not been that relevant. Oh, he
Who's
does
Boris
a lot of good.
Kojo?
You don't know Boris Kojo? Light skinned assassin. He's married to Nicole Murphy. You know, I know they do a lot of charity work. Then Jimmy Fallon, 50
you see,
Cent.
As soon as you said charity work, I was like, I'm already more attracted. To him.
Yeah.
You just said Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon is on here. I don't know if he's sexy. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know exactly what that means. Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent. Why is 50 Cent on here?
I don't know, man.
You know, Iggy A. Ferrari. Alex Skarsgård, okay. Milo Ventimiglia, okay. Adam Levine, so fine.
Really?
Rami Malek, shout out to Notre Dame High School. Harry Shum Jr., Manish Dayal.
I don't know
Trevor
who
Noah.
These people are.
Oh,
I know
Jack.
The trouble.
Basically, this Trevor is not really Noah. The sexiest man alive list.
It's like people who are working this
who's
year.
Around? Who's working?
Men
yeah.
whose names are in the media. Harry Shum Jr. is from Crazy Rich Asians?
Yeah. And well, who else? On the young end, Tom Holland, Jaden Smith, Grigor Dimitrov. Don't know him. Mm-hmm. Dev Patel is only 28? God damn. I got to get younger. or a better publicist. Jack, how are we all not on here?
I know. I mean... Okay,
yet.
I get it.
Yeah, thank
both
you. Thank you.
Not on there, but neither of us. Come
right.
on, guys. That's,
yeah, what's going on here?
It's not
Adam Rippon. Okay, I feel that one. But
Adam Rippon.
There's again, if you got a good representation and you've been in a couple of movies, it seems like you can get on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I just wanted to point out was this one is about Meghan and Harry. Because
again,
you know,
Jesus Christ, why are you obsessed with this, America?
Because she's our lady. And they're going to move to the country, said a quiet life in the country, chores, American holidays, and no spoiling. And I like it. She's just basically saying, like, look, they're not going to live like William's kids. They're going to be out here sweeping and doing all kinds of shit. I'll put my hands on them if I have to.
Moving to the country, like the
English countryside.
Oh, yeah. Last week they were telling us that they were moving to
California. I know.
United States.
Damn it. And I was about to be homies with Harry. I know. It's going to happen. Don't worry.
They'll probably live in both. It feels like they have money enough to, like, live in a few places.
Pretty soon, my goal is I'm going to be on one of these covers, and they're like, is Miles destroying Harry and Meghan's, like, marriage?
Right, but then it'll be all about how you and Harry are going out too
Yeah,
much.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. And two stumble bums leave the Ivy again, drunk as fuck.
Right.
Is he a bad influence? Yeah. Yes.
Anything else going on in the world? Oh, boy.
In J14, we always, you know, we like to look at the younger stuff now to know what they're telling the youth them. And there is a couple interesting things. There's, like, last time we looked in here, they had this section called the Guy Guide, where it says the cutest guys in Hollywood share how boys really think. And some of these, it's just so funny because this is not how teen boys think. Like, these are measured responses that I think a publicist approved. So when they ask Brandon Arriaga, you know, what's an ideal date? My best date would be taking blankets and snacks to the beach.
Hmm.
Okay. Really? Don't hang out with him.
Right.
If he's not saying, yo, I got a fake ID, or like, I know this one liquor store on Van Nuys that will sell to us without the ID. Shout out to Gus.
This is in no way informed by how you were
experience.
When you were.
Yo, there was that liquor store, man, in Van Nuys. Wow. You could go in there with fucking a library card and they would give you a 40 to an 8-year-old. But his whole thing was he wouldn't sell you liquor. You could buy beer at a shop, but he just would not sell you spirits.
Mm.
And that's that. But yeah, other than that, I think the biggest news really was that, and I think how they're saying Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes, they're finally getting married, I guess, because she's wearing a wedding ring, but they're saying she was in a movie, but it's not a prop because the photo was taken when she wasn't on set or shooting that day.
Wow.
But
how does Tom Cruise feel about it?
Apparently they say Jamie got Tom's permission first. I don't believe that, and I didn't want to read too much into it to even find out if that was
true. But they might be friends, though. They did Collateral together. They did that.
Yeah, and I think that was a big stab in the old back for him.
Mm.
You know, it's tough out here to be a celebrity and hot.
It's tough for Tom Cruise.
I know. While we're out here wasting away outside of the top hottest men on Earth list.
I know. Well, welcome to the club, Tom.
It's rough out here, bro.
Eric.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people...
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I was on Benadryl this whole time. Hey.
Wait, you turned the fuck up. I didn't think so.
I didn't realize I was on Benadryl until I arrived. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on Benadryl.
Yeah.
Hey. But thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
Just the old socials. I've obviously got an album out, which is pretty exciting. Alien of Extraordinary Ability. And there it's on go. iTunes and Spotify.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that what you are filed under?
Yeah, American Immigration. That's called awesome. Me Alien of Extraordinary Ability.
That's fucking cool, man. And is there a tweet or any active social media that you've been enjoying?
Twitter's just a mental health issue waiting to happen.
It really is. It's a lot.
Find me on Facebook.
All right.
Oh, Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook. Do you update your page a lot?
Yeah, on Facebook I do.
Slang intent for the fans?
Yeah, I seem to do better on Facebook because it's a lot easier to like press share and tag people in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While Twitter is just a barrage of people screaming at each other about things they don't know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right. So I quite like Facebook.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Shout out to Facebook.
Miles.
In some instances.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Let's see. First is me, my socials, at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Is there a tweet that I like? You know, I don't know. I was looking around.
I saw a video. Light. I saw a video of a golden Labrador, golden retriever pulling another dog, and that was amazing. Well, shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah.
Remembering stuff over here.
You know what? Let me just look. I think Guy Fieri tweeted something. It said, I love Guy Fieri. He said, hey, at Miles of Gray, stop curving me. What's good, daddy? Hashtag WYD. Okay, cool.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet that I enjoyed. Just go with Karen Kilgariff tweeting, just ate Taco Bell and now a light cry. We've all been there, Karen.
But those are tears of joy.
Yes.
I hope for her too.
She just tried the Doritos Tacos Locos.
Yo, you know you have a party at Taco Bell now?
What does that mean?
Like, you can call ahead and
I
be
always
like,
have a party at Taco Bell. Every time
they'll fucking set up a little corner for you in the restaurant with fucking balloons and plates and shit. You can have a legit little birthday party at Taco Bell.
Do you need to prove that's your birthday?
No, you just call. No, it's not a birthday thing. You just call them like, hey, I'm trying to have a party.
Right.
Do you have this slot available? I have 10
people. Does Taco Bell sell booze?
No.
Can you bring booze in Taco Bell?
This is what you do. You get the cup, you bring in little airplane bottles, and you pour it in your Mountain Dew Code Red or, you know, Baja Blast.
Right.
Thing like that.
Okay.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes.
Sure.
Shanote Smiles, what song will we be riding out on today?
This is one going out to all the hipster girls, because it's 2009 and we're still using words like hipster girl. But this is a song produced by Sango, who is an artist that I talk about a lot, or, you know, we play his tracks a lot. It's a Sango produced song with the artist Xavier Omar, and it's called Hipster Girl. Again, it's like future R&B, okay? And take this 30 seconds, loop it in your head, and if you like it, why don't you go buy the music?
Check it out.
Yeah, so this is Sango and Xavier Omar. Hipster.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Sit with me. Sitting Indian style. Finally made that move. We sat and talked for a while about everything's changing. From music to our exes in Austin and Texas. At South by. Watch a chance to rap with a hipster girl. James Blake with a hipster girl. Sampa.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.